If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. Cheers and welcome back to another episode of In Liberty and Health, the Sunday Coffee Edition. Picking it up. We're going to discuss picking things up, whatever form that may be, and hopefully you guys chime in and we have a lively Sunday conversation. Pretty chill for me. Hopefully everyone has a great weekend, has had a great weekend. It is a dreary, somewhat cold Sunday morning after a pretty warm week here in the wonderful state of Pennsylvania. And wherever you are, I hope the weather is lovely your way, as usual. But yeah, picking it up. If you couldn't tell by the thumbnail, it was a picture of me deadlifting in two different instances. But I was also thinking about that and then picking up dog crap in the yard. Things that suck, but we generally do because we see them as worthy of doing and paying off in the long run. So I have a lot of thoughts and we'll kind of just rant and rave today and we'll kind of see where it goes. So also got an announcement. Unfortunately, LMNT is no longer working with the show. I still have my display up right there, but I still recommend people go check out their stuff. I think my affiliate link is still up for the rest of this month. So if you're so inclined and you're on a low carb diet or you want some electrolytes, go to drinklmnt.com/inlibertyandhealth. You'll still get a free gift, I think, for the remainder of the month, and then it'll just take you straight to their website, which I still recommend their products. Unfortunately, I don't have millions and millions of listeners that buy their products through my affiliate link every single listen, every single day. So they decided that we would no longer work together, which is no big deal. I still use their stuff. It's all plenty of their stuff sitting around my house. Like today, I have the chocolate salted caramel with a sugar-free caramel, chocolate caramel creamer, which is just absolutely fantastic. So yeah, make sure you still go to that link. It's not below, but you can still type it in the search bar and it should still take you to their website. But I am still working with Tiger Fitness and Fox & Sons Coffee. So go to tigerfitness.com through the affiliate link below to get all your supplements. Damn camera. And I just used their Ruckus and Vasky for pre-workout and then their post-workout Swoley post-workout amplifier. And yeah, it was really good. So I guess without further ado, I'll quit rambling here right in the beginning and we'll just get right into it.
What is up, everybody? My name is Kyle Matovic. I am the host of the In Liberty and Health podcast, where we talk all things liberty, health and wellness, and beyond. My hope is to encourage and spread the message of liberty and physical and mental well-being. I hope you enjoy all the topics we talk about with our guests. We're on all major streaming platforms, so please sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Man, I'm doing as good as anyone can do getting buried by his 13-year-old son on leg day.
I'm not going to apologize for not being on this podcast because I got to go see Metallica. So if that's a problem, kiss my ass.
Okay? I am. All right.
One more time. Good morning, everybody. I'm drinking from my X3 cup, which we'll probably talk a little bit about that. Actually, you know what? The hell with it. We'll talk about that right now. I did a video review on the X3 bar on my channel. I think I talked about this before on one of these Sunday morning podcasts. But anyways, the X3 bar is kind of cool. I like it. it's a great tool for at home for people who maybe don't have the time to go to a public gym or take time away from home to go work out. You can get quite a bit of resistance through it. The claims I don't agree with, and I don't think the evidence backs it up anymore, especially since I talked to Milo Wolf, which I should get him back on because I think he just published a few studies on like the partial range of motion. But in case you're new here or you don't know what I'm talking about, range of motion is actually very important for developing a muscle whenever doing an exercise. And how does this get to picking it up? Because anytime you move weight, you're picking it up or you're pushing it away. So I'm going to turn, and for those listening, you might want to go over to YouTube to kind of see what I'm talking about. Basically, the idea of partial range of motion is that like a full range of motion bench press would be like from here at my chest, or see how my arms are pretty much like almost adjacent to my chest, and the bar would be basically across my chest to like here, right? So that is going to be the more lengthened portion, or the more lengthened portion of the rep, right? So the full range of motion would be going from like here all the way out here, right? Because you see my arms are fully extended, my shoulder, like I can't push my arms out any further. That would be considered the full range of motion for like a bench press. And you're going to have the same weight at all times when doing a traditional bench press, right? With an X3 bar, they kind of limit it because you're using bands. Now, am I saying that bands are useless? No, not at all. But like with a band, you have almost no resistance here. And then when you get out here, you're going to have a lot more resistance than let's say like right here, or even all the way down here. And obviously a lot more than right here. But when your arms are fully extended, the band is at its highest, you know, its highest resistance. Now with a lot of the research coming out now with, this length and partial kind of stuff, basically it's suggesting that, the length and range of motion, or like the most difficult when you're most stretched, is the most stimulative. Therefore, it's probably best to have the heaviest weight at the very, very, you know, most stretched part of the range of motion versus the most extended. So what does this mean if you want to get an X3 bar and then have a mug like I do? Excuse me. It means that you may not be getting an optimal workout. Okay, well, what does that matter? If optimal for you is just getting a quick workout in and building muscle in a easy way where you don't have to leave your house in 10 to 15 minutes a day, well, then maybe the X3 bar is optimal for you. Now, what if your optimal is trying to get as strong, jacked, and juicy as possible, and you're willing to spend hours in a day and throughout the week in the gym resistance training? Okay, well then maybe X3 isn't optimal for you. It's definitely not optimal for me, but it is a tool nonetheless that I'll lean on whenever, let's say I have a podcast that I have to get to and my schedule just doesn't permit me to spend an hour at the gym, you know, an hour, hour and a half at the gym, during that day. Okay, well then maybe the X3 is optimal at that time. So, regardless, they're starting to do like lots of sales and stuff. So you know, if you want, go check that out. And I think it's a useful tool. And I think that if you're serious about fitness and you have a very, very busy schedule like I do, I think it's a pretty reasonable buy to go out and buy that and, you know, incorporate that into your resistance training routine, because it's just a convenient tool that gives you a lot of resistance at home without taking a whole ton of space. But if you're like me, then you obviously want a lot more. And I do have a lot more in my home setup, if you will, that allows me to train a little bit more optimally at home. But, you know, for, I think it's like $500 or $600 for the X3 bar. It's a lot of money. But once again, if it's optimal for you to just be able to do it at home, then by all means, I think that's worth it. For me, I'm willing to spend, you know, potentially thousands of dollars on getting equipment that will help optimize my fitness and, you know, my health. That goal for everybody is going to be different. You know, if you're just starting out, maybe just walking is good for you. If you're deconditioned and maybe you haven't really trained that much, then hey, maybe doing some calisthenics at home, push-ups, pull-ups, chin-ups, whatever, doing that at home may be optimal for you with a little bit of running. But then if you're a little bit more conditioned, then hey, maybe you do have to go get a gym membership, or you have to spend thousands of dollars to build a home gym. It's completely up to you. Generally, why people go for a gym membership is because getting a gym set up at home could be very, very expensive. But regardless, that's all kind of around picking it up, right? Because anytime you're pulling something off the ground, if you're deadlifting, which is a very, very fundamental movement, You're picking something up. Whenever you're squatting something, you're picking something up. You're picking the barbell up off the rack, and then you're going down and you're picking it back up. And the one nice thing about iron, and this is a lesson hard learned by CT Fletcher or hard taught by CT Fletcher, is iron is very, very objective. It's yes or no. Did you pick it up or did you not pick it up? Yes or no. If your answer is no, all right, well then you have to keep training to get stronger so that way you can pick up that weight in the future. I have a clip that I just wanted to show because I was looking at it. Here it is. I cut it out earlier this week because I was I took off work on Friday to do stuff throughout the day. Let me see. Okay, here we go. This was like one of the foundational videos for getting me into fitness.
I'm here to grow. You must grow. I'm the boss, motherfucker. I tell you what to do. You don't tell me. I told your ass to grow. Bro!
What did Junior Miles say?
Junior Miles said, everybody, shut the fuck up!
Yeah, it's pretty great because CT Fletcher has been working out for decades and decades and decades, has world records and some lifts and shit like that. And I remember watching that as a kid, just hearing him swearing into the microphone. I'm like, yeah, let's go. And I just wanted to go lift. And ever since then, I mean, that was, Jesus Christ, you know, 10 years ago or so. I was in high school and I just remember watching CT Fletcher. And then on my way to the gym, I'd have CT Fletcher cranked the whole way up, screaming in my ears. There was an app on your phone that just had CT Fletcher speeches. I would just listen to them all the time going to the gym. But, you know, finding that kind of person in your life, even if it's not somebody that you directly know, somebody that just kind of motivates you to go in the right direction, I think is pretty important too. Whether it be ideological, you know, physical or whatever, somebody that will motivate you to think differently about yourself is very, very important. Especially if you want to maintain any kind of change in your life, something to aspire to. And you shouldn't aspire to be somebody else. You should aspire to be somebody better for yourself and someone that you shouldn't model your life after somebody else, because you're ultimately rejecting yourself as your own mental point of origin. It's kind of like a red pill lesson. This is something else I want to talk about today. Our friend of the show, Nuclear Caudillo, who hopefully you guys go check out his stuff and have enjoyed his interview on here and on Cognitive Vigilance. He always has this saying, I'm not a good man, which, you know, maybe I'll pull that up here in a second. Let me see if I can find it. I think I bookmarked it, if I remember correctly. Here it is. It's really useful in a lot of situations, because some people, I think I talked about this on a show before, where generally whenever somebody brings up masculinity or what, you know, whatever men should do, generally it's just manipulation. And Nuke has this, I don't know if he came up with this, but it's a really, really great saying that I think is just very, very important. I can't believe how many people bookmark this, and obviously I'm one of them.
I'll say this, I'm not a good man.
Right there. Very, very short, sweet, and to the point. I am not a good man. Because whenever this conversation comes up, whenever people are telling you that, oh, good men do this, good men do that, generally what they're trying to do is trying to get you to do something for them. This is what women always do. They appeal to good men. Well, if you just cut them off the path, say, I'm not a good man, then, you know, what they can't manipulate you, because really what it comes down to is that whatever your definition of a good man is matters than more than anybody else's. Does that sound cynical? Does it sound existentialist, nihilistic? Maybe. But at the same time, you have to be comfortable with your own definition of what a good man is, because people are going to try to place that on you at all times. And is it important to consider what other people are saying and to really reckon if you're a good man compared to other people's standards? I don't know. That's up to you. It's not up to me. I think what I do makes me a good man, but that's for me to decide, not for anybody else. And that's why I like that saying of, I'm not a good man, because right there, you're taking that power away from somebody else and giving it to yourself. You're not allowing other people to define what you see as good for you. So I'm almost out of coffee here. Part of the thing that sucks about doing these podcasts Sunday morning is that my wife's at work, so I can't yell at her to go get me more coffee or more whiskey like I do on Thursday nights. It seems like Twitter is kind of messing with the algorithms lately because I used to get like over 100 live viewers from Twitter on these streams. And now like anymore, it's like 15, 20, 30, maybe 40 people per stream. Oh no, man. I can't keep up with all these goddamn fucking social media sites. I don't know how their algorithms work. I say stuff and then it'll go viral. Like my prefrontal cortex tweet where I just jokingly talk about a prefrontal cortex. And then all of a sudden all of Twitter is falling down on me. And then the next tweet I put out gets like 200 views. The one before it gets 238,000. I don't know how this stuff works, dude. I just work here, man. That's all it is. So, another thing that's been interesting lately has been the Ukrainian flags. I'm kind of glad that some of the reactions to some of this stuff has been people asking what the punishment for treason is. Let me see if I could find my tweet here. I've seen quite a few people. Oh, God damn it. Quite a few other people saying the same thing as me when it comes to all the Ukraine aid. And it's not just Ukraine aid. It's other foreign countries as well. Share this tab instead. Let me pull this up. this Rep. Jason Crow with a Ukrainian flag. And he was quote tweeting something. And I asked, what was the punishment for treason? I was not the first one to tweet this out. There were plenty of other people tweeting this out. LOL, Ukraine still loses. Yeah, and we'll see. That's a sad thing, is that when it comes to all this foreign aid, we're not making any of these countries better off. The people of these countries are not better off by us sending them money. What generally happens is that these countries still lose, but their oligarchs get rich. Zelensky's doing well. I'm sure all the arms industry in the United States is doing well, and probably over in Ukraine is doing well. Over in Israel, they're doing great. Taiwan's doing great. Those three countries right there, because that's where we want to, you know, kind of put American hegemony, is right in these places here. This was shared by the Libertarian Party of Colorado, which for those listening, it says, which photo of Congress do you prefer? And the first photo is of a whole bunch of congressmen clapping and waving Ukrainian flags. And then I love the second one. A bunch of congressmen ducking behind seats on January 6th. I think it's clear where I stand on this one, but in case it's not, I definitely like the second picture quite a bit more. Of congressmen ducking behind seats, because they're kind of seeing the punishment for sending Ukraine aid and Taiwan aid and Israeli aid, and also of locking people down for a year and telling them that they're non-essential and stuff like that. I'm all about it. I am all about it. I think it's absolutely hilarious. But at the same time, unfortunately, our representatives don't find it so funny. That's why we have January 6th prisoners. Is it a good idea to go storm the Capitol on January 6th? No, probably not. If you're going to LARP revolutionary, don't be surprised when your government treats you as a revolutionary. Do I agree with it? No, but we're going up against the deadliest government in the world, so don't be surprised when they kind of leave you out to dry. So let me run an ad real quick, and we will just get right back into it. All right, guys, we are going to take a quick break from the show to tell you about the show's sponsor. We are now brought to you by Fox & Sons Coffee. As you can see right here, I got the Den Blend Dark. Really enjoy that. I've been drinking a lot of their Brazil Honey Prep right here. As you can hear, there's not a lot of beans left in it because I've been drinking it quite a bit. Just to tell you a little bit about Fox & Sons, why I support them and why you should too, is that Steven had started the company up in Michigan to help teach his son about entrepreneurship. I'm all about that, and I do firmly believe that in order to spread liberty in our lifetimes, we have to support those who support similar values as us. And Steven does support all the same libertarian values that I bring and talk about on the show a lot. So go to foxandsons.com, use code Kyle at checkout to get 15% off of orders $25 or more, and there's always free shipping whenever you place an order that is more than $37.99. find their copy absolutely fantastic, and I'm sure you will too. So one more time, go to foxandsons.com, use code Kyle at checkout to get yourself a little discount, let them know I sent you, and support the coffee that supports you. All right, guys, thanks. Back to the show.
So part of the reason why I entitled this stream Picking It Up is because I was literally thinking about picking up dog shit in my yard, which I know sounds stupid, but it seems like we have a lot of rejection of beauty in pop culture today. It's funny that we had some old hag, I can't even remember her fucking name, but ripping on Sydney Sweeney, right? Because something about her being right wing, or just said she was never pretty. And like, she's not a 10. She looks pretty damn good though. But they always seem to rip on people. Like, there was that giant meltdown with Adele, whenever she lost a whole bunch of weight and she looked significantly better. You know what? Maybe we'll see if we could find that real quick. Let me open up Google in another tab. Present. And we'll kind of walk through this here. Adele before and after. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Like, people lost their freaking minds over Adele losing weight. Like, she was fat, man. She was big. Yeah, that was the picture that originally had everybody losing their mind. She's always been a good singer too. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of pop music, but you know, I can give a W when it's a W. Okay, there it is. Unrecognizable after massive weight loss. I am all about it, man. I am all about people getting healthier and losing weight. But yeah, people really lost their minds over Adele losing a whole bunch of weight because she wasn't some fat white girl singing tunes about From the Other Side and Setting Fire to the Rain, whatever the fuck all that shit means. But Jeff Dice has made this point before about our culture generally hating beauty. And I think there's something very, very true and very, very sad about that. The architecture even around a lot of our buildings isn't like beautiful anymore. But what does this have to do with picking up dog shit? I promise I'm getting there. But I don't want to pick up dog shit because it's a very, very tedious, boring, and quite frankly, shitty task. It stinks. It takes time. It's difficult. And it's not fun to do, especially in the cold, shitty weather of Pennsylvania in my backyard with three dogs. And granted, one of them small, two of them are pretty big. But it's required to pick it up so that way I can mow the yard and make the yard look beautiful. It is what I've talked about before in other podcasts, and it's the same deal as lifting weights and being sore for weeks at a time. It's the same thing as going out running and then being completely out of breath for the next few hours. It's the same thing as not drinking for a period of time. It's the same thing as avoiding sugar, seed oils, heaven forbid. To gain a better body composition, you are delaying gratification, doing things you don't want to do in the present to get what you really do want in the future. In order to maintain a beautiful yard, you must pick up dog shit and mow the yard. In order to maintain a beautiful yard, you have to pick up your lawnmower and go cut the grass. In order to maintain a beautiful Roman Greco physique, you know, in order to have the guns, you have to go lift some heavy ass weight. He probably has a pod. Sorry, he probably has a podcast intern who picks up the dog crap. But still, a good point. Yeah, I will. If you're referring to me, then no. I wish. I have paid people to mow my yard before, whenever I run out of time or just don't have enough time in the day to get to it. But that's been a couple years since. But yeah, you really do have to learn delaying gratification. I think this is like another one of those big libertarian insights of like Austrian economics, where like people save over a long period of time, especially when there are higher interest rates, so that way they could see their savings grow to have more money to, you know, fund projects or fund things that we don't have the money currently for. Or you're willing to take out a giant loan with a high interest rate and pay it back to fund something that you want to do now versus want to do later. Or to buy equipment to make your life or make a business venture easier, better right now, right? I really think that's what we build civilization upon. I was just listening to Biting the Bullet the other day, and I really, really enjoyed their podcast. And if you're listening to this one, make sure you go listen to that. Listen to the show that I did, because I think I actually did just for like a lot of the red pill topics and fitness stuff as well. I just really enjoy talking to those guys.
And they kind of talked about this in their most recent episode. Let me make sure I name drop it correctly. Family is wealth. Yes, that's exactly it. They kind of talked about having families and correcting your families and your locale's behavior to build civilization, which I think is very, very important. Terry, I'm going to delay my gratification by watching your video later. Perfect. If there's something that you need to do more than listen to me rant and rave borderline incoherently on a Sunday morning, then by all means do that. If you're at the gym lifting, then turn on some freaking heavy metal and listen to it, you know? That's what I do, at least. And we're starting to see this right-wing culture swing back, and I think there was a video, and I wanted to do a whole podcast on it. Maybe I'll rant and rave on it here in a minute. If I could find it again, but Michael Knowles saying that heavy metal doesn't take any talent, which is like, dude, just get the fuck out of here. Like, to say heavy metal takes no talent, you can pick up a guitar anytime you like. You could pick up a drum set, a bass, anything, and tell me how easy it is to go play heavy metal. Let me see. I want to see if I can find it because I wanted to rant and rave about it. But yeah, for anyone that thinks like any kind of music, even like country and stuff like that, that it's not difficult. There's definitely different music that is more difficult than others. But to say that like heavy metal takes no talent, you're out of your goddamn mind. You are on another planet. Like the how tight some people have to play and how... just there's so much that it really does take a lot of talent to play really any kind of music. I can't believe I didn't save that. I thought I would have. No, I guess I didn't. Maybe I'll have to Google it. Michael Knowles heavy metal. Yeah. Response to Michael. Oh, here we go. I think I found it. Okay. All right, here we go. We could talk about this. GM Lonnie. If I had more coffee in my cup, you see it's empty, and that's like the remainder of the chocolate electrolytes. Good morning, friend. I hope you're doing absolutely well, and I hope you're having a fantastic Sunday. Same with Terry and Jordan. Thank you guys so much for chiming in the chat. Let me pull this up here, and we will kind of talk about this a little bit because I want to school Michael Knowles. Because I quite frankly, I think he's a faggot in here.
Percussion, music generally, yeah, bypasses the rational faculties. Right. And this is why Plato said, yes, you got to watch out. This is why Alan Bloom said, don't listen to rock music.
Right.
And metal, by taking out discipline and control and melody and harmony, for that matter, and by being entirely percussive, I do think, I'm with the old fuddy-duddies going back to Plato, I think it arouses the base passions and is actually not ever edifying.
Well, see, here's the thing. I'm willing to dismiss all music after 1958.
About, yeah.
So
you get 2 years of Elvis in there. Okay. Okay. Hey, wow.
Okay. Let's start that over again. We'll kind of walk through this step by step. I didn't plan on doing this for the podcast today, but you know what? Fuck it, we're here.
Music generally, yeah, bypasses the rational faculties. Right. And this is why Plato said, yes, you got to watch out. This is why Alan Bloom said, don't listen to rock music.
Right.
And metal, by taking out discipline and control.
Okay, so if you believe that there is no discipline or control in heavy metal, tell me you've never listened to Dillinger Escape Plan, even Pantera. Who else? Rush, any heavy metal band. Tell me you have never listened to a single heavy metal band in your life without actually saying it. Because if you've listened to the way that some bands are super tight, like think about Byzantine is one who comes to mind. So there's a part in their one song called Hatfield where like they just have like one measure long of like kind of like a little, I don't want to say breakdown, but they change up the rhythm and the drum beat for one measure before they go into another part. And just stuff like that takes a lot of discipline and control. It takes a lot of that. If you listen to my band, Common Crown, right, in which hopefully all you guys have every single time you listen to this podcast, our song The Reckoning has some tight spots in it, but like that's the intro at the very, very beginning of the podcast that I play every single time. But like our one song Awake, in our verse, it's dun 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 dun, and there's a pause there. For us to be locked in tight, and every single time we went the dun dun, and then it's dead silent, you could hear a pin drop. Me and Matt, my drummer, and Steve, the bass player, we have to work pretty hard for us to have discipline and control. When you think about Pantera, when they do at the end of, I think it's 5 Minutes Alone, when they play live and they go into By Demons Be Driven, and they have that very ending, dat, they have like this perfect fucking tight pause. Tell me how that's no control and no discipline. That shit takes discipline. Or Metallica, for example, one, drrrat, drrrat, drrrat. Like to hear them play that live and it's just this, that perfect pause. That shit takes fucking discipline, dude.
And melody and harmony for that matter.
Melody and harmony. Okay. Let's talk about that too. Iron Maiden. Who has made an entire career on melodic metal? Iron fucking Maiden. Or let's even talk about someone a little bit more current. Soilwork. Melodic death metal. You can knock them all you like, but listen to that stuff. I mean, the guitar singing that. In Flames, Dark Tranquility, Vader. Who's another one? Like Trivium. They're not Swedish, but like they have a lot of melodic metal. Melodic metal is a beautiful thing, and two guitars playing something different that collides together and just makes this beautiful sound. I mean, you know it when you hear it. Think about Hollow, in the beginning of Hollow by Pantera. They have the guitar with a 12-string effect in the background with a harmony going on right in front of it. Randy Rhoads, when he does solos, he would lap the guitars on top of one another. And Dime did this in his solo for Floods. And it really makes this weird, you know, real spacey, almost like a phaser chorus kind of sound, right? That stuff takes discipline. If you listen to Common Crown's most recent single, Cry, go look it up, Common Crown, Cry. At the very end of the solo in there, I did the same thing where I lapped the or two guitars over one another playing the same thing, just to give it like a bigger sound. That stuff takes talent. To say heavy metal and rock music doesn't take any talent, like you are out of your mind, dude.
And by being entirely percussive,
it's not entirely percussive. I've talked about Soulfly and Sepultura being very like percussive bands because they really are. So like if you listen to Rademacher or Roots, Tribe by Soulfly, those songs have like a lot of percussion in it, but it's really neat because like the percussion complements the Brazilian heavy metal sound that they have. And you can think about a band like El Nino, where they kind of have a lot of percussion in their stuff as well. Like they had two drummers for a lot of their history. I don't know what El Nino's up to now. I know they got a new singer, but yeah, Brett, good to see you, brother. I hope you're doing absolutely well. It's no wonder why the right is losing the culture war. And yeah, this is exactly what I mean. Like the right wing today is losing because they don't give anybody a bigger image to aspire to. Like there's no incentive for people to want to be right wing at this point, because where's all the fun? What do you hear from trad cons all the time? Usually to man up and take more responsibility. Okay, for what? So a woman can potentially divorce, rape you in court and drag you through the mud, drag your reputation through the mud. And it's all for the West, quote unquote. Okay, well, what are we doing now? I had a tweet about this today where it's basically, you know, remember everyone talking about how they can't wait for the culture to go back to the right? Okay, well, what are we getting? Speech laws around anti-Semitism, more foreign aid, more warrantless spying, and then nobody's saying that there's a problem with divorce or for like men at large, which who's going to drive culture at large? It's going to be men, right? Men are going to be the leaders. They're going to be the ones that kind of lead the charge forward to develop a more right-wing culture. Well, if you're not giving them any incentive to join your political party, your political cause, then why are you surprised that they're not doing anything? and like if you're telling them that you want to ban heavy metal and that you know, it's all their fault that the culture is decaying, then like it's just gonna say fuck you and check out. I mean, that's what a lot of people are doing right now, is just checking out. I mean, I'm almost checked out of like federal politics. I still talk about it every here and there, but I mostly talk about like foreign policy, culture, intersexual dynamics, health, because I just find that a lot more enjoyable. And I think that making a difference in people's health is much more important than changing their minds about political stuff. There's definitely other people who are way better at talking politics than me. I'm not an expert in much. I mean, I know more about health than the average person. I know more about geopolitics than the average person. And if you really have to put me up the wall against something, then I mean, I'm an expert in automotive. That's really the only thing I'm a certified expert in. But that doesn't mean I can't share information about other topics and other stuff. But yeah, to Brett's point, the right really seems to lose the culture war because they don't have like a positive vision for young people today. You know, the old cliche saying is like, if you're not a liberal by the time you're 18 or 20, then you don't have a heart. And if you're not a conservative by the time you're 30 or 40, then you don't have a head. Okay, well, how do we get more people to be conservative when they're younger? As much as I hate to say it, because Jordan Peterson is somewhat epitomizes some of this problem with the culture. But, you know, the whole responsibility deal is kind of important. But though the problem is that he doesn't take it the full way and say like, okay, well, responsibility to do what? If it's all responsibility and no authority, then what's the incentive to take that responsibility? Because if you're just, you know, taking responsibility and it's just all punishment all the time, no reward, then what's the purpose of taking that responsibility? Nuclear Cadillo, if you were in here a little bit earlier, I was fluffing you a little bit. Good to see you, brother. I hope you're doing well. I'll probably be in the chat for Post Zero a little bit later. But yeah, I think you get this, though. Like, what is the purpose of promoting responsibility to men if there's no authority and they don't get anything out of that responsibility? If all it is just more more suffering, and then more, you know, you pay more taxes, you're a plow horse for your wife and for your family, then why do it? Yes, exactly. Enjoy good fluff. Responsibility without authority is slavery. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But this kind of goes to the point that I was highlighting earlier. I shared a clip of you saying, I'm not a good man. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately and what that means. And it's really a frame thing. And I'm sure you would agree with this, but it's all about frame. When you tell somebody that you're not a good man, you're rejecting the premises that they're putting on you by saying that, you know, you're not meeting my standard of being a good man. So when you say I'm not a good man, basically, it's just saying I don't accept your terms of being a good man, and I'm going to assert my own terms of being a good man. It's very, very important, something that guys should establish for themselves every single time that women try to impose their standard of what a good man is onto you. And any woman who's trying to get you to be a good man or trying to tell you what a good man does, they're not going to fuck you. They're not here to make your life better. They're here to impose their standards on you. Rejecting that and then seeing if they accept it is the ultimate tell of genuine desire. If a woman is willing to follow you and your definition of a good man, then that means that she wants to step into your frame. But a woman that's telling you what a good man is wants you to enter her frame. And then what do we know about frame? Frame is everything. If you're willing to step into a woman's frame, then you already lost the plot. And then you're going to be one of these dutiful plow horses, which you could still be a good person within that. But you're going to end up in the red pill forums, you know, 10, 15 years down the line, wondering why do my wife and I only have sex once a year? And why does my life suck? What can I do to win my wife back? Like, that's where you end up when you accept her definition of what a good man is. Authority with no responsibility is tyranny. Yes, absolutely. And yes, I'm glad that I could articulate that well. But yeah, so that's kind of what all of that's about. I think that when people, and you want how this kind of circle back to picking it up, is that when you pick up frame, when you recognize your own frame, then you don't need to exercise and worry about how other people's definitions are going to fit into your frame, or how you have to fit into other people's lives, frames, and what their ideals are for you. you set up your own. That's important. Whenever you get into the gym and then you can create your own program, then you don't have to worry about what the latest research is, because really what you should want, and I know I'm getting into should, which is kind of getting away from Red Pill stuff, but like what you should want as a guy is what is going to orient yourself towards your own goals. You should ask yourself what you want. Okay, for me, I want to be as jack juicy as possible. So therefore, making my own program that I enjoy and that I'm going to sustainably continue to do for a long period of time is what's going to be best for me. So what's best for me is working out 4 days a week in a full body push, full body pull split. That's subject to change, and I'm probably going to change it here in a few weeks because I feel like it's probably just time to change it up, to find something that, you know, I like to keep my training fresh in something that I enjoy. So I'm probably going to go to shorter workouts with a little bit more volume because I've been doing kind of like power building for the last almost year probably. Do I like it? Yeah, but you know, just change it up to see if I get more growth out of doing higher volume, shorter workouts, maybe doing back to a legs push pull kind of split, and just seeing what results I get with that. You, 3 days a week might be good. 6 days a week might actually work for you. Lots of cardio may be good for you. Get that bro split in. Well, you know what's funny is I was just thinking about this with my buddy Rob Goodwin, who I haven't had on the show in a while. And Stegs, I know you would like him a lot. Make sure you go follow him. He runs ketogenic bodybuilding and he does like lots of carnivore stuff, but he always called it the pro split because he said all the pros back in the day used to do the, you know, train each body part once a week and leave it rest. But those workouts where you do one body part per week, you absolutely crush it. So, you know, you annihilate your chest 1 day a week and then you leave it the fuck alone for the rest of the week. Yeah, Stegs, I think you would get along with Rob really well. He's a really, really good dude. And, I don't think he's wrong. I think him and I just kind of look at things a little bit differently. And I used to agree with him a lot more than I do now. And, you know, it's just kind of different methods. We both have ways of getting to the same place. And I mean, clearly it's worked for him. His carnivore, low carb approach to working out, and he still uses carbs and stuff like that. But like, he just incorporates them in a different fashion than I do. I'm a little bit more of a flexible dieting advocate now, where I used to be a lot more carnivore keto, but, the dude's won like bodybuilding competitions. He's taken other people to get their pro cards and stuff like that. So clearly it's worked for him. I can't knock people who, you know, are objectively getting results. And that's really what a lot of this stuff should be about. You consume information that may or may not fit your bias, especially when it comes to the fitness world, and then finding out what works for you. Okay, so flexible dieting for you may not work at all. Well, that's fine. Do something else. I'm not here to tell you what fitness program will work for you. I'm here to tell you, hey, according to most research, just about any diet works as long as it's strictly adhered to. You know, find out what works for you and kind of go from there. But yeah, like the bro split stuff, I did that for the longest time. I did that for the first couple of years I was working out back when I was in like high school. I would do arms on a day, chest on another day, back on another day, legs on another day. And I think I was like 4 or 5, maybe even 6 days a week. And that worked for me for a time. Obviously you get the newbie gains, so just looking at a weight is gonna put on 6 pounds of muscle for you. But then throughout, you know, I think it was around 2020 that I finally decided, okay, well, maybe I should try something else. Even I will admit, the best program is the only one you can actually stick to. Diet. Yes, exactly. That is everything right there. Any diet that you cannot stick to is not one worth following. So I mean, like, if what works for you, Stegs, is doing, you know, I see your stuff where you cook these beautiful skillets full of like eggs, chorizo, ground beef with a little bit of avocado and maybe some veggies on the side. If that works for you, dude, and it does look really good, I'm not gonna lie. The one dude that that I've had on the show before, the Nutrivore, Nick Hebert, I know he said that like you plate really well, and he's right. The stuff you cook does look fantastic. So dude, I'll give it to you 10 times out of 10. The shit you cook looks absolutely fantastic. If that's what works for you, that's what works for you. Get after it, dude. You know, and I see videos of you deadlifting. You do 400 pound deadlifts. Like, that's fucking awesome. Clearly it's working for you, so keep doing it. For me, carnivore was no longer serving me, so I chose to do something else. Well, now, you know, my deadlift is 545 pounds with a trap bar and then 515 with a conventional bar. Works for me. You know, there may be a certain point where I decide that flexible dieting no longer works for me, so I'm going to go do something else. But right now, for the last 3 or 4 years, flexible dieting's worked very, very well for me. Derek, good to see you, brother. I hope you're doing absolutely well. Fantastic. All that good stuff. Intermittent fasting. A lot of the research that's come out lately on intermittent fasting has kind of shown that as long as you're kind of eating at least every day, two meals at like minimum, you're going to be fine no matter what. So like, if you fast for days and days on end, probably not ideal because you're not, getting, oh, I'm sorry, steaks at 450. Yeah, still, but still, it's really, really good. I think like the untrained individual can normally deadlift like, I think it's like not even 300 pounds. So you're well above the average. And I don't know what your weight is. I'm guessing you're somewhere around like 170, 180. And I think you're about my height too, if I remember correctly. So like I'm 5'11 at about 209 pounds. So I'm still coming off of the dirty bulk that I did, which to kind of go off a little bit of a side tangent here, I don't recommend people do a dirty bulk like I did. I'm losing the weight slowly but surely, and obviously doing a little bit of body recomposition in the meantime. If you're going to do a bulk, do it slow. Try to, you know, focus on just getting a little bit above maintenance, but don't go crazy. I was a dumbass and went absolutely nuts there for about 6 months and gained quite a bit of weight. But it's coming off. I feel good, and my body composition is getting better. And I did gain quite a bit of muscle, at least I think, and my lifts have gone up. So sorry about that side tangent there. Yeah, intermittent fasting. If you're doing it, it's working for you. Keep doing it. I would just recommend that you get sufficient protein throughout a day. Derek, I know you're about my height as well. So ideal body weight for you, whatever your goal is, which generally I think for most people around our height, 5'11", 5'10-ish. If you're in like, I would say probably 175 to like 195, you're going to be probably somewhere in the, like that 10 to 20% body fat range. That's a pretty healthy body fat range. I'm sorry. And then, as long as your lifts are getting better, then that's good. So like for us, as long as you're getting anywhere from like 160 to 200 grams of protein a day, and then filling in the rest with however you want your diet to kind of look, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with intermittent fasting. I don't do it anymore because I like getting a steady stream of protein. And, I think I made this comparison with Milo Wolf, where we were talking about protein distribution and like partial range of motion. So if you're getting in two meals a day, intermittent fasting, your eating window is 8 hours a day, and then you get two meals with 100 grams of protein each, or like 75 grams of protein each. It's not 100% ideal, but you're probably still going to get generally great results if you stick to a diet, that diet, right, where you're getting 160 grams of protein or whatever per day in resistance training 3 days a week to sufficiently close to failure, you're still going to get good results. Now, if you crank that up to, let's say, 4 or 5 meals a day, and you train 4 days a week, hitting every single muscle in your body twice a week, you're probably going to get a little bit more results, but it's not going to be like this leaps and bounds better between the two. So intermittent fasting, nothing wrong with it. If that's what works for you, that, you know, you enjoy doing that, and maybe you enjoy training on an empty stomach versus having food in your stomach, then, I mean, it just is what it is. Like I said, I don't do it anymore. For me, I found that when I did intermittent fasting, if I had electrolytes and I drank coffee, like black coffee in the morning, I felt fantastic. And that was when I was doing a lot more carnivore and more like a low carb approach. Then, like I said, I found that my training and especially like cardio felt better. So for people doing cardio, I know I just said earlier in the show that like I'm no longer working with LMNT. But when I had electrolytes before a run or something like that, I noticed that my performance during the run was always a lot better. If I didn't have electrolytes, I felt a little bit more sluggish, and maybe that was just placebo. That's totally possible. But, yeah, if intermittent fasting works for you, do whatever you want to do. So I guess I'll kind of wrap here unless you guys have more questions, chats, anything like that. Picking it up. It's always necessary to pick shit up. Whatever you want to do in your life, you're going to have to pick something up, whether that be, you know, a book, some heavy ass weights, the dog shit in the yard, picking up, as Jordan Peterson would say, responsibility, or picking up frame. You have to pick something up to make your life better. So I guess we'll plug A Common Crown at the end of the show, because we got some cool shows coming up next month. We will be headlining the Millvale Music Festival at the VFW, I think it is. If not headlining, I know we play at like 8:30 on May 18th. We will be opening for Hinder June 30th and then playing Rock for Life, I think it's June 28th. So make sure you come on out to those. Go to acommoncrown.com to find all that stuff. The links below can get you to everything that I got going on, as well as the wonderful Tiger Fitness for all your supplements. I don't have anybody planned this week, but I'm sure I'll figure something out. Trying to get a couple people on, but you know, sometimes it's a little bit difficult between everybody's schedule. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Go check out Post Zero, where friend of the show, Nuclear Cadillo, will be on, as well as Jack Napier, who I'll probably be reaching out to sometime soon, because I think him and I have a lot in common. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening and watching, and until next time, take care.